Theme song. This is the Talk Chef theme song. Hello, thank you for joining us on Talk Chef, the podcast where we talk about Top Chef. I am your host, John Drake. You may know me as Top Scallop. You may also know me as Young Crudo. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nash Bandicoot. It's Nash Flynn.
Yeah, it is.
Nash Bandicoot. Is. Did you play that game ever?
No.
No, it's a fun game. You should check it out.
You're looking very, very tan, Mr. Scallop.
I might be past the point of tan. I might be crispy. Spent a lot of time outside with no sunscreen on in the last few days.
Quite seared.
I might have a mild case of sun poisoning. So the reason for no theme song this week is the same reason I am quite tan. I'm in Southern California, San Diego to be exact, and I did not remember to upload the theme song to a platform where I can access it right now. So we'll fix it in a few days, but if you're hearing this right after it comes out, you're going to hear my beautifully sung theme song. So, but yeah, I'm on vacation. How are you doing this week?
Well, I'm not on vacation, so, you know, that's how it is.
Every day's a vacation when you have all these new proteins to try.
That's true.
Do you want to tell us what you got into?
What a transition.
Thank you.
This week I had wild boar.
Love wild boar. What did you do with it?
We had it in a sausage.
Okay.
I don't, for the record, sausages aren't my party. Anyway, I took the casing off of mine. And then it actually had a very, like, lamb sort of texture and also taste, which I really, really like.
It's like a mixture of lamb and pork because it's got the porkiness but also the gaminess of a lamb. It's good, though. I think it makes really good burgers, too, if you ever have a wild boar burger. You can put a slice of pineapple on there.
Yeah.
A little bacon, maybe.
That does look really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stuffed it inside out of naan and sort of ate it like I had the lamb recently because as soon as I tried it, I was like, oh, this has very lamb-esque feelings for me. So then I ate it just like I ate the other thing because I'm a one-trick pony.
Nothing tastes worse because you put it in naan or pita, though. Like, you know, that's always a good thing.
That's true.
Well, I have some food stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
I've been doing a little bit of a food tour while I'm here. There's a couple Top Chef alumni that have restaurants out where I am, and I had to go visit them.
Yes.
First day we were here, we had a whole Richard Blaze day. We went to, for lunch, right after we landed, we went to Rubio's Coastal Grill, which is doing a collaboration with him on street tacos. So we got three tacos, and we shared them. It was crispy chicken, shrimp po' boy, and roasted pork. And these were really good.
Yeah.
And then for dinner that night, it was our special occasion dinner. We went to Enver and Rye, his new steakhouse. In Carlsbad. And it was good, not great. Can't justify the price tag on some of these dishes with the food. The service was really good. Cool ambiance. It's in a country club, so you get to overlook the golf course. It's got, you know, the mountains in the background. But the drinks, too, were like $25 each.
Damn, Richard.
I know. And it was lacking some of the Richard whimsy I was hoping for. You know, it was kind of straightforward steakhouse stuff.
And this is his new one, right? This is the big Richard restaurant.
Yeah, just opened. Mm-hmm. It was good, not great. I'm giving it like 7 out of 10. Then my expectations were low, but the next day we went to Brian Malarkey's restaurant. Mm. He's got a few in this neighborhood. So we went to Herb and Sea, which... spelled like herb, as in, like, you know, tarragon, thyme, rosemary.
Herb, yes.
Took me a long time to realize that when you say it out loud, it's a play on the words urban and herb end. Because he's got a whole chain. He's got Urban Wood, Urban Sea, other ones probably. That meal fucking rocked my socks off, man. It was amazing. Malarkey wins the contest.
Beats Richard Blaze.
Yeah, I would not have seen it coming. Maybe the best octopus I've ever had there. We got a pork chop, which we never order pork chops at restaurants, and it was amazing.
That's awesome.
Really good tuna tartare. Just awesome, awesome place. And then we went to a restaurant for lunch today that Angelo Sosa started called Death by Tequila. He left it recently, but, you know, I still count it as a Top Chef restaurant because he kind of put the menu together and was one of the founders. And that was really good.
Did you have tequila?
You know I had a passion fruit margarita. So, yes, I'm slightly buzzed still while I record this episode, but that's just going to give it more flavor.
Yeah,
love it. So, do you want to dive in to this week's drama-filled, exciting episode of Top Chef?
So much drama. None of it really all that contentious.
No, it's somehow the friendliest drama you could ever expect to have on a TV show.
Is this what reality TV in Canada is like?
It's gotta be. There was Top Chef Canada. I never got to watch it, but now I want to go if it's all like this.
I think just it might be.
Everyone being friendly.
It's like almost infuriating to a point.
Yes. You want somebody to just stomp on somebody else's head, yeah. Metaphorically speaking, at some
it's
point.
It's like all the conflict is within. It's like very, very dramatic in the interior and then
right.
Nothing for anybody else.
All the turmoil is inner. No outer
the
turmoil.
The way you want your reality TV, just a bunch right. Of anxious people just
so
weeping.
The big news, we started off finding out nobody's coming back from Last Chance Kitchen, I guess.
How Byron, is this possible?
Yeah, Byron didn't get it done, so
yeah.
We're sticking with the five we have, and that's it.
As
far
that's
as
it.
I know, there was a commercial for Last Chance Kitchen during tonight's episode, but it seemed like a canned one. It wasn't like previewing
right.
Specifically what happens next week or this week on Last Chance Kitchen. It was just the standard one they've played all season.
Right, and Maria isn't going to Last Chance Kitchen, so...
Right, so I think they're done. But and then Padma trying to play coy, like she doesn't know that no one's coming back from Last Chance Kitchen.
Oh.
We don't believe you, Padma. Come on.
Come on, Padma.
But fun quickfire. I love like a blind taste test quickfire. Those are always good.
Yeah, it was a neat challenge. I felt like at the very outset, you know, Padma's standing there in this like very like black, dark leather sort of getup in front of these like... what Don calls peep show boxes. And I was like, we're doing something this episode. But then
we're
it ended up just being the French, you know?
Yeah, she brought it up like, we're taking a page out of Top Chef France's book. And we're like, nobody fucking knows what that is.
It definitely, it led me to believe it was going to be a different thing.
Something sexy, right? Yeah.
Right. Like Padma standing there and her, whatever. Like
you can call it like a you can call it a dominatrix outfit.
I was gonna say that, and I was like, I don't know if we want to say that on Talk Chef, but it definitely felt dominatrixy to me. Then she was like, "We're going to France." There's these black boxes behind her. Dawn is literally like, "Ooh, it's a peep show." And then they're like, "No, just kidding. It's a real quick fire. Get to work."
So we get Brooke Williamson coming out
yeah.
of retirement, and Brooke has always been really good at blind taste test challenges when they do like the ingredient challenge. So whoever got her and her team was gonna have an advantage, and it ends up being Dawn, who's already rocking quick fires left and right, and she was better than Brooke at it. Maybe Brooke's out of practice, but
I was like, Dawn doesn't even need you, Brooke, step aside.
Dawn was the only one I believe that picked up on the mustard and the carrot puree out of all six
yep.
contestants,
and the pistachio too. She was the only person that named that.
True. Yeah, so there was an uncharacteristic gaffe from Shota there. He took out a beef shank for some reason. People like,
he got a smokiness and just ran with it.
Yeah. Gabe looked at it and he's like, I'm not doing anything with this beef shank. Like, this is
just
nonsense.
Just
but yeah, I always like when they have to recreate a dish, and it's fun to see who gets close. Dawn and Brooke obviously got really close. Their dish looked almost identical.
So close. It was incredible.
This Gabriel Rucker guy seemed nice enough, but he kept calling it pigeon.
Yeah.
We call it squab for a reason. Nobody wants to eat pigeon.
But this was the first Top Chef episode where they actually tell you squab is pigeon, which they've never done before. Like, I actually think I texted you last season to be like, what is squab? And then I Googled it and I was like, it's pigeon, and we're just faking it. Like, we're pretending that it's this fancy ingredient and it's not. But that's why. Because
it's pigeon, but it's also not. Like, they're not taking pigeons from the streets of Queens and roasting them on the grill. I mean, maybe. They are
not
Queens,
on Top Chef.
But not on Top Chef, right? It's basically just, I think, a cleaner pigeon. Maybe one that's raised for food. I don't know if they actually have like farms where they raise them specifically for food. And the quick fire. Jamie was smart. She got all her ingredients prepped but didn't cook them.
Mm-hmm.
So like you don't have to run that risk of overcooking something because your teammate doesn't recognize that it's on the stove or it's for you.
Right.
Just good gamesmanship.
Which we saw Brooke do, and she's out of practice anyway, I guess.
Right. So, yeah, Brooke starts boiling her carrots for the puree, and then Dawn starts peeling carrots to boil for the puree. And then Dawn sees the boiled carrots and is like, I don't know if these are for me. So that was a
little
bit
Dawn's already, she's already not good at timing, so.
And that comes into play more and more this episode.
Yes,
she's got time management problems and finishing her plating problems.
Yep.
We've called it out so many times.
Literally every episode, because she does it every episode. There's always this moment where Dawn is pressed for time and scrambling.
Yeah, but Dawn and Brooke win, and as far as I could tell, they didn't win anything, right? There was no prize given out, no 10 Gs.
I mean, they sort of acknowledge that Don has won the most challenges at this point, which I guess I probably, as a participant on this particular podcast, should have been keeping track of. But I was like, oh, it's Gabe. It's got to be Gabe. But then it wasn't Gabe. It was Don. So that was embarrassing for me.
They fucking love Gabe, though. So I was shocked, too. Then they get the news that they're going to get a night off. And right when they said that, I went to Cliche Kitchen and I said, this night off is not going to be a real night off. There's going to be
a
twist.
Don't even celebrate it. Don't. Right. Just be like, you're a liar.
Jamie with her, does that mean we get to go to the bar? And also, Jamie, this is in the height of COVID. There's no bars open right now.
Nothing.
If by bar you mean drink alone in your hotel, then sure, go for it.
Yes.
But that's the best you're going to do.
And then Padma's like, oh, I'll join you. And it's like, you will not.
You can't socialize with the peasants, Padma. It's not how it works.
Padma's just throwing down in the corner, like, do not acknowledge me.
And then just more Cliche Kitchen was when they're going through the letters from their family. Just so much emotional manipulation here.
Yeah.
Tears are flowing freely. Everyone's getting choked up. So they get these care packages from their family with ingredients that are special to them, which... real dick move by Top Chef to pull this out this late in the game because their families are not professional chefs. They weren't catering the boxes to each contestant's style of cooking. So you have people getting stuff like bean sprouts. Maria gets bean sprouts in her box and she's like, I feel like I got to use them now. And then she makes a bad bean sprout salad.
I mean, they made a point to say you do not have to use everything in your box, which felt like foreshadowing.
It does feel like foreshadowing, and they did say that, but then there's always the question of if I don't use enough of what's in the box, am I going to get dinged for not staying within the parameters of the challenge? They didn't say you got to use at least half. You have to use, you know, 6 of 10 ingredients. You have to use 4 of 10 ingredients. They just said, try to use some stuff in the box and be inspired by it.
Yeah.
So that's
tough.
Just miss
your family.
Right. Just miss your family a whole lot and cry.
Yeah.
Did you have anything for Cliche Kitchen besides those two things that I brought up?
This whole episode really spent a lot of time like making this category in our show very, very valid in a way that I feel like some of the other categories just have not been this season. They were like, maybe Scallop Crudo doesn't get like a ton of action. Maybe Not Here to Make Friends doesn't get a ton of action. But Cliche Kitchen, though, we're going to ride that one into the night.
Oh, yeah. I actually do have a few options for Not Here to Make Friends. They were subtle, but they were there tonight.
Ooh.
Scallop Crudo, once again, though, the challenge screwed us over. Like, there was no shot we were going to get in yet. They had to cook a dish. They had to mimic a dish that didn't involve either of those things. So obviously we're not getting any out of that. And then there was no scallops, no raw preparations that would have made sense with the elimination challenge. So once again, the Top Chef producers are out to get us.
Yes.
But what can you do? We must fight on. We must continue.
True.
So for Bit in the Ass, I have quite a few things. We already touched on it, but Dawn not checking to see if Brooke had put anything on the stove for her. Could have saved her some time. Doesn't have to peel and puree those carrots.
Right.
Shota pulling out the beef shank. What's that all about?
Come on, buddy.
He's had impeccable gamesmanship so far. It was just strange that he was the only person that got that so wrong.
Yeah, and you could see him panic, like, on his face when he's like, did anybody else think that there were two proteins? And Brooke is like, no, I have a bunch of them. Like, honestly, there were so many in this episode. But one of the people for this category for me is Jamie, because she just, like, couldn't stop doing it this episode. And, you know, it's I've never used a pressure cooker in my life. Why?
You know you're going on Top Chef.
Use Get a pressure
one,
cooker.
They're $30. Buy one and practice with it a few times, because there are going to be times where you want to make something you can't make the old-fashioned way in the time allotted. It's a very useful tool for those type of things.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're a chef and you're thinking about participating in a cooking show, two pieces of advice for you. Use a pressure cooker. Memorize a dessert recipe. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. And
every
look at
season.
A clock. Like, every once in a while.
Dawn. Looking at you, Dawn. But every season there's somebody who like almost blows up the kitchen because they're inexperienced with a pressure cooker. And pressure cookers are not new, exciting technology anymore.
Right.
They're well known. Everybody, I use them at home. Instant pots are like a big thing now. They're even simpler.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's another thing. When we're bringing up Jamie with the pressure cooker, she then says that she hasn't been focusing on the rest of her dish because she's been so focused on her brisket. But it's like you put it in a pressure cooker and leave it. How do you not have time to do other stuff? There's not a lot of active work that goes into pressure cooking something. You can't do anything to it once it's in there. So yeah, she should have all the time in the world to focus on the rest of her dish.
And then in later, she's like, you know, this rice seems dry and weird. Those are her words about her own rice. But at this point, I have no choice, is what she continues. And it's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Right. Yes, you do. You absolutely have a choice. Don't put it on there.
Make like a little rice cake and fry it real quick. And then the dryness will be a feature, not a bug. You know, there's always a way out. Or just don't serve it.
Don't serve it. Just don't serve it. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Just, God, just don't.
We got to talk about Dawn bit in the ass because she once again fails to sauce all of her plates. And you got to think she would have won this challenge if she sauced all her plates, because the people who got to taste her red eye gravy said it was phenomenal. And her dish sounded amazing.
Yeah.
But once again, it's the details that get her.
I have beef with the judges on this one because I get that the dish was good. But we, even in this season, have eliminated people for not getting the right things on the plate. And she still makes it to the top three. And it's like, no, I get you don't put her in the bottom two and up for elimination for that at this point. But don't put her in the top three and be like, your dish was incredible. Like, three people didn't get sauce. And she didn't even realize that as she was serving it. She realizes it when the judges tell her that. So she didn't even know. That's like a detail thing for me.
It wasn't a time management thing this time because she had time to sauce those plates. She just thought she already had. I guess the argument is, you know, the dish was good enough without it, that she still was in the top three without the red eye gravy.
Some people got it and some people didn't, which I have a problem with.
Don't put her on the bottom, but leave her like in no man's land. Yeah.
Yes. You would have maybe won. As Tom always likes to point out, like if you've done something wrong and you would have been in the top, he likes to tell you about it.
Yeah, exactly. So
just doesn't feel very fair.
They're loving Dawn's food though. And I mean, that's what's really coming through, is that she's still trucking along with all these mental errors and the way she kind of slept walk through the elimination challenge last week after she got injured. She still manages to win. Like if she was focused and tuned in, she might be unbeatable. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Shota once again makes it to the top but doesn't win. That seems to be kind of his MO. He's always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
I think part of that is just what they've come to expect from him is always the sort of level of perfectionism. But I also feel like with his food, it's not showy. It's supposed to be delicate. It's supposed to be beautiful. It's not overly spiced. So there's never that moment of, oh my God, this came from Shota. Like, it's just good, but it's sort of underneath all of the heat and the spices and the flavors of other things.
Right. He's going up against people who make Mexican food, Vietnamese food. And these all have big, bold flavors, and Japanese food is very subtle. That's really up to the judge's discretion. What are you rewarding here? Perfectly made food or food that like is really powerfully flavorful? I don't know. That's a preference, I guess.
Even when it's missing components. I'm salty about this.
Oh, this is Nash's issue of the week.
This is what I'm complaining about. My notes just say, oh, wow, some people be missing gravy, because even in the notes, I had a sticking point on it.
I could tell.
Yeah.
You were passionate about these issues, and I respect that, even if I don't 100% agree.
Yes. Thank you.
Now that we've had our big argument of the evening, let's talk about Not Here to Make Friends, because our big argument is about as heated as anything gets this season of Top Chef. So.
Yes, that's true.
I did think Maria and Jamie had an exchange that I thought was really funny during the quickfire.
Yeah. Yep.
Where Maria goes, I failed you. And Jamie goes, that's fine.
That's
she doesn't
fine.
Say like, no, you didn't. Don't worry about it. Or she like, says, that's
we
fine.
We failed each other. No, it's just fine.
But she makes up for it later in a big way we'll get into.
Yeah.
But then.
I mean, my sub thing for this category is Shota's parents. Everybody gets these like beautiful touching letters and they're just like, hey, you're doing great.
We miss you cooking for
and
us.
He's
we
just
like your food.
Yeah. And he's just like Asian parents, like with a big shrug. And that's like the moment he gets where it's like, okay.
He's, he didn't seem hurt by it or anything. He didn't feel left out in any way, but.
No.
That's just
like,
how it goes.
This is how it is.
And then there's took Gabe a little while to clap when Dawn and Brooke were announced as the quickfire winners. He looked a little peeved, a little perturbed, perhaps. I don't know if you caught that. Like, it was very subtle.
Yeah. It was definitely this like, one moment hesitancy. And there was also this moment with him. I think he's just not good at policing his face. But like there's one moment with him where Maria and Jamie are up on the chopping block, and he's just sort of got his arms crossed listening to them sort of trash on Maria. Like, he's mad about it. And then right. as they move on to Jamie, he sort of relaxes again. And we sort of understand why later when he's sitting with Maria and they're having this, like, very emotional moment about their food and the journey that they've been on. So you kind of see it, but he definitely is not good enough about remembering he's on camera all the time and, like, not emoting. Right. And I get that. I have that too, which is why I only do podcasts. No big excuse.
You do comedy, Nash. Like, people can see your face sometimes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Think about it.
I should be better about that.
But then Jamie had another moment where she maybe took a little shot at Maria. And I don't think this was intentional, but when she goes to present her dish, now Maria made a chicken wing. A glazed chicken wing and a bean sprout salad, but the judges didn't love her chicken wing. And then Jamie gets up there and says, well, my family sent me chicken wings, but I wasn't going to cook a chicken wing on Top Chef. And I was like, oh. And she presented right after Maria, so.
Yeah. I think she probably just didn't think that fully through.
Right. That's the kind of stuff we have to look for, though, because we're not going to get anyone being overly, like, obviously mean to another contestant this season.
I mean, we are Tom Colicchio in this. Like, we have to nitpick because everything else is just...
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, for this category too, earlier in the quickfire, we have this moment where Maria's presenting her and Jamie's dish and says, this is a sad plate. And it's like, why would you say that to a judge, first of all? Like, before they've even seen your food, why would that be the introduction that you wanted? But also, you had a partner that you're now being like, we sucked. Like,
right, throwing them under the bus. But that's been her MO all season. She does not hide her own feelings about her food.
Yeah.
If she thinks it's subpar, she's going to let you know. And I respect that to a degree, but also you got to play the game. And maybe they would have really liked your dish, but now you've set it up for them that they shouldn't.
Right. If you're going to say that you realize it's not up to par, wait for them to see it and take a bite to be like, I don't think this is my best work.
Right. Yeah. Let them say, what do you think about this dish? Yeah.
Save it for the talking head, really. Like, don't tell the judges. But, like, if you have to tell them, cop to it after they've had a chance to experience it first.
Did you have anything for harshest criticism? There was a few instances here where maybe in context it didn't seem that harsh, but when you kind of analyze what they were actually saying, like Tom telling Dawn to get her head on straight.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know he was saying it out of love and in a sense that, like, your food's really good. Stop sabotaging yourself. Yeah. That's still a pretty harsh criticism.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like, come on, lady, let's get it together because your food is really good. And that's almost like worse. He's like, I know that you are capable of this. Just do it. Like a disappointed dad.
Exactly. That is Tom Colicchio has big disappointed dad energy at times. And that's what I got.
But it's
from
funny
here.
Because in this episode, he and Gail look like fashionable supervillains.
Yes.
So it's like this long shot of the judges table. I'm like, why do you guys look like you're doing crime professionally?
Well, Ed Lee looked like formal wear Indiana Jones. He had a fedora and a big brown duster on. Yeah. Very impressive.
Gregory looked fantastic.
As always.
Like always. But he showed up, he like sat down at the table and I was like, damn, dude, incredible shit. And then we've got like Gail in this like leather coat thing with this collar that's like very like fuzzy. And she was just like rigid. I was like, oh man.
Like an ice queen, which is not Gail's energy at all. She's usually very warm and friendly.
Yeah, she showed up looking like she would kill 101 Dalmatians.
Don't get me started on that movie. What else did you have for harshest criticism?
So for this category, I only had anything because of how quickly they came on the heels of other comments. So they're talking about Jamie's dish. Brooke comes in with, this dish had a lack of purpose. Right on the back of that, Tom agrees and says, there's really nothing to it. And then Gail says it lacked imagination. And those were all of Jamie's harshest criticisms. But what struck me about this was those were three right in a row about Jamie. And then they had this opportunity to talk about Maria's dish prior to that. And all they could come up with was you seemed like you were in your own head and you were emotional about an ingredient that you included that you might not have included if you'd really thought about it. But then it's Maria that gets eliminated for this. Even though we've sort of talked about Jamie's dish as being, like, lacking
Padma
three
even told
judges
Jamie,
in a row.
Yeah, Padma told Jamie she seemed like she checked out, which I noted as, like, a pretty harsh thing to say to a chef, because that's not really about the food at that point. You're criticizing the chef's mental state and their effort. Not, you know, not like they tried something and failed. But then they also told Gail did say about Maria, about her, not to her. This was when they were talking amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. But she said it tasted like a boiled chicken wing in a great sauce, which boiled chicken wings sound disgusting. But yeah.
But the sauce was great, you know? Yeah,
it did seem like they were going after Jamie as a chef in person more so.
Yeah.
But that could have just been the edit that they wanted to mislead us a little bit and not see Maria's elimination coming.
But now that you've said it, it really does feel like way more of a not here to make friends type thing. Like, Jamie actually worked really, really hard on that. We watched her struggle with the pressure cooker. She, like, really criticized her own rice. And, like, imagine you work really hard on something. You show up and someone's like, it just seems like you checked out. And you're like, no, I've just been sweating in a kitchen for 4 hours and I'm tired now.
Right. No, yeah, it was a little, now that you mention it, I didn't really make a note of it. But the way they talked to Jamie in this episode was a little tough. Especially considering she doesn't go home, despite her best efforts, which we'll get into in a little bit. So if that's all you have for harshest criticism, let's go on to favorite dish. What'd you have for that one?
I would absolutely eat Gabe's elimination dish. Hands down, 110 times.
It's yeah, amazing. He had a braised pork shoulder that looked really good, and they loved it. Yeah. And they said it was like street food elevated, which is always like the best kind of food, I think.
Right. Yeah. Street food is my game. So it's where we are.
Absolutely. I had that as one of my two options, but since you picked that one, Dawn's pork belly with a pecan caramel.
Yeah.
Oh, and that red-eye gravy. I love a good pork belly.
Would you still eat it if she didn't give you the gravy?
No, I would. You don't have to say pecan caramel to me twice. Say it once and I'm in. That's all it takes.
That's true. I think that would be my second choice. I would want the gravy, but that's
of course I'd want it, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
So the only category we have left is elimination prediction. And before we get into that, we've got to talk about the dramatic ending to this episode. What the fuck, man? Never seen anything like this, except from one other chef named Jamie a few years ago. When Jamie Lynch tried to give up his immunity to go home for his team, and he did.
And he did, yeah.
So it's only people named Jamie that are... My wife's name is also Jamie. I can assure you she's quite selfless as well.
Oh, so
Jamie literally says... When they say tell Maria to pack her knives and go home, no, let me go in her place. Give her another chance. She deserves another chance. And then they ask Jamie a few times, like, are you saying that you're quitting right now?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, no, but also if she wants me to, I think it's not the same thing.
Like, no, it's not the same thing if you fall on your sword and then you back out of it.
You can't tell the judges who to eliminate, you know?
Yeah.
If you say, I need out of this competition, I'm going crazy, I don't want to do this anymore, sure, they'll send you home. They've sent people home for out of competition reasons before.
Right.
But if they taste both your dishes and say, we like this one more, you can't say, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going home. You have to say, I'm leaving. I won't cook another day.
Right.
And then they'll have no option. She kind of started to go that route and then pulled back a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's tough. Like.
And I think Maria did a really good job of being firm about it. She was like, let me go home with my dignity. Like, don't make me stand here and listen to you argue with the judges about whether you are or not going to participate in this. She says, this got really Mexican novella. Just let me leave. Like, I really just want to go and emote somewhere. You know what I mean?
On a season with not a ton of drama, though.
Yeah.
What a dramatic finish. I mean,
yeah,
high emotions running wild everywhere.
I mean, very just touching. Like crying from like the halfway point in the episode all the way through to the end, just tears.
I think there's probably a little more emotion than normal because first of all, these people are only interacting with each other too. So they're probably forging pretty strong connections and bonds. And they're starting to see, you know, the people they've grown really close to go home, not be in the competition anymore. So I get it, but wow, it just all came to a head.
Right there in this like everybody's staring at it. You know what I mean? Like we get a couple of shots of like people just watching this happen.
Some people with their hands over their mouth. Like,
yeah.
It was something. I've never seen anything quite like this on Top Chef before. And that's exciting.
Yeah. And I think this could be one of those like sort of it's not here to make friends, right? Because we have this moment where Jamie sort of puts Maria on the spot for this, like, no, give it to her. But she won't say that she doesn't want to be in the competition. She just, like, doesn't want anybody to go home.
If you do this, you have to be firm, or it's not going to work. And she just wasn't firm enough to make the judges do this. And
that's
for the best. It's not a who can be the best friend competition. At the end of the day, it's a cooking competition, and they like Jamie's dish a little bit more. So she deserves to be there. There was no underhandedness. You know, there was no circumstances where Jamie cheated in any way or Maria was disadvantaged in any way. Like, even if Maria had been injured and couldn't finish her dish, that might be another story. But no, they had the same advantages and disadvantages, and Jamie won. So there's really no basis to do that. But it was a nice gesture, just ultimately an empty one.
And for the record, I actually disagree with the judges on this one. And I'm allowed to do that. It's in my contract. Sure. But I really felt like after all of this buildup, them actually calling Jamie out for feeling like she wasn't committed to it. She put something on the plate she probably shouldn't have. They had a lot more criticism on her dish than we saw them have on Maria's. Mm-hmm. It felt like we sort of got this, like it really probably should have been Jamie. You know, Jamie's already been eliminated before. She fought back on Last Chance Kitchen. She has been sort of wishy-washy, like even for us, up and down, willing to participate and sort of not. We have this like quick fire moment where she's sort of like, yeah, great, thanks. Thanks for like shooting us in the foot. And then sort of watching this very stressful moment. For me, I actually won this week because I voted for Maria last week, but you didn't want to win because it didn't feel like, I knew that Maria should go home, but it didn't feel like this was the week she should have. Like, this should have been yours.
I mean, is there any world in which we don't both pick Jamie for next week at this point? No. It's got to be her, right?
It has to be her, yeah.
She's the only chef left that's been, like, Dawn's only inconsistency is with her focus, I think, and getting all the ingredients on. But even with that, she's outperformed Jamie, who hasn't left ingredients off the plate, but just seems very up and down week to week and inconsistent. Like, Dawn's food is always good, even if sometimes it's missing a component. That's easier to correct.
Right.
So yeah. I can't vote against anyone except Jamie right now. As much as I love Jamie, I think she's a delightful character to have on the show. And her food usually looks really good. We're getting down to it. There's only four people left.
Right. And so. I will forever love Jamie for winning Last Chance Kitchen, making sure Byron didn't get back in, and then just like pretend machine gunning everyone in her celebration.
So uncharacteristically, like, I was cracking up at that. She like, literally turned in a, not, she did a 360 spin, like, never seen anything like that.
Right, and it was like, everyone else was like, oh, sorry, Byron. And she was just like, yeah.
Literally crushed Byron's gene. And it's not like Jamie had to win that or she'd be eliminated. All that was at stake was Byron coming back or not.
Celebrating.
Unbelievable. Anyway, that was this week of Talk Chef. Do you have any closing thoughts?
No, I hope that becomes a meme, though.
It absolutely should. At least the gif of it. Like, yeah. Or gif, if you're a weirdo like that.
No.
Anyway. Thanks for joining us this week. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe. We will be back next week with a theme song. Not my improvised theme song, but a real one. Thanks for joining us. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Ooh, a salute. That's a new one.
Yeah.
Talk Chef. Talk Chef. This is a show called Talk Chef.